Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tumbling out of bed at such an early hour. Hope you found the caffeinated beverage of your choice. Good. Welcome to this community input session on rating learning spaces in higher education. Again, discussion amongst yourselves is the key component this morning. So if you're sitting by yourself at a table, you may want to pick up and move because we're going to ask you to join colleagues at other tables or clusters. There's still a few seats here in the very front. None of the panelists bite or throw things at people, so you're safe if you're in the front. In fact, you're very safe because we won't call on you for the answer. If you're sitting in the front, you always call on people in the back. I'm Malcolm Brown, director of the EDUCAUSE Learning Initiative. Again, thank you very much. We are conducting this session to collect your input on this idea of rating our learning spaces in terms of their design and the way their designs encourage and promote active learning engagements in those spaces. So what we want to accomplish today is three things, basically. One, we want to introduce the idea of this rating system to explain our thinking on it. We want to give you the opportunity to discuss with your colleagues the idea, its pros and cons, its challenges, and its opportunities. And we also want you to give us input so that can guide the further development of this idea. So before we head out into this uncharted territory, we want to equip you for this exploration. We are handing out documents. Our colleagues are handing out documents. There are two. So I just want to make sure everyone has the two documents before we plunge on. The first one is a single sheet. Looks like this. And if you don't have a copy or want an electronic one, if you go to the website for this session, which is if you follow this URL, that will take you there, you can download it from that website as well. So that's document number one. It's a single sheet printed on both sides. The second document looks like this. It starts out section four, integration with campus context, and it's a two pieces of paper, four pages. If you don't have one, please raise your hand. Rich and Elliot are passing them out, and they will provide you with copies. Now, if you would take a moment with the mobile device of your choice to go to this URL, or at least note it down, it's also on the whiteboards around the room in the periphery. I've written it there as well. This is the input form. So when you're done and through with your discussion, this is the input form we would like you to use to record your ideas and insights and feelings about this so that we can look at this and use it to plan our next steps. So it's a tiny URL, and simply off of the tiny URL, it's LS rating, single word. Did everyone get a chance to copy that? All right. So before plunging in, I'd like to introduce the team members because this is a cabal, if anything was. A few of our colleagues couldn't be here this morning. Bob Beichner at North Carolina State, he could not be here. Joseph Civitello from the USC, he could not also be here this morning, but he's been with us. Shirley Dugdale from DEGW and her colleague Elliot Felix, also from DEGW, is with us. Rich Holton over there from Stanford University. Linda Jorn, University of Minnesota. Phil Long, University of Queensland. Myself, Malcolm Brown, and Veronica Diaz, also of ELI. So those are the folks to blame for all this. So I'm going to turn this now over to my colleague, Shirley, to begin to explain the idea of just what this is about.
As you may know, the LEAD system has become very well established over the 10 years that it's been in development. And now many universities are really looking to it to certify their campuses and their buildings as gold, platinum, et cetera, rating that certifies the level of quality towards sustainability measures, and as campuses move more towards even carbon neutrality, it's becoming more and more important. And really what it's trying to do is to measure the performance of buildings, and so it looks at metrics like energy saving, water efficiency, carbon emissions, et cetera. And talks a bit about also the sensitivity to the impacts that the construction process has and to the wider context. Now, the LEED point system is about 100 points, but you can also add bonus points. And over time, this has been developed where they've prioritized how many points each of the different criteria should receive. And they've been weighted by the groups that have been developing the system over time. This has taken quite a long time to develop. And within each one of these criteria, all the requirements are defined. And we're going to show you in a little bit more detail how that works. They also have a certification institute where they not only credential programs that train professionals in how to use the system, but that they also review the submittals for certification as well. They're developing other different types of systems. One is LEED for schools for the K-12 group. They've also developed a community-based one that starts to talk about the development of green communities. So what we were proposing was the development of a learning space rating system, which would also focus on performance and develop a measurable set of criteria to look more closely at how learning spaces were performing. And also to think about not only the room scale and the building scale, but also start to think about the campus scale and how that could be enabled and improved. So the intent was to really encourage administrators and others on campuses to see the potential for spaces the way you as educators and academic technology people have, and to think about not only in terms of upgrades to existing classrooms, but also thinking about the future buildings that are being built on campus, and also to think in terms of the total spectrum of spaces, not only the formal classrooms, but also the informal learning spaces in libraries, computing centers, and other places across campus. So essentially, we're talking about moving from efficiency to effectiveness in our measures. These are the types of things that LEED measures, energy and atmosphere, awareness in education as well, innovation in design. So we've tried to address issues like that. So to just run through quickly the categories that we've been starting to think about, one is enabled activities. What types of activities do we want learning spaces to be able to accommodate in the spaces, degrees of flexibility, furnishings, and what's enabled. Tools, technology, and furniture, getting more specific about the tools you may want to be able to use in spaces. Environmental quality and atmosphere, the kinds of issues that we've talked about a lot in many of these sessions at EDUCAUSE, the nature of the natural daylight, comfort being essential to learning, things of that nature, and cross-referencing it to LEED standards. Thinking about the integration with campus context, what does it mean in terms of a continuity of learning experience for the student? Planning process, how do we go about integrating this thinking and this system right from the very beginning as projects are planned? And support and operations, how do we support them? How do we go in and do assessment measures, how do we build that into the process as well and use it to inform future buildings. So now I'm going to turn it over to Phil Long, and we will start to talk in more detail.
Okay, so what I'd like to do is give you sort of a crosswalk between how we've mapped the LEED structure. And the important thing isn't what the detail is at this stage, even the detail that we present you as an example of a learning space as conceptualized in this framework. What is important is to understand sort of the outline that it takes. So, for example, this is from the LEED school framework, and what you'll see is that there is a prerequisite that says, or a statement about, in this case the category is indoor environmental quality, and it says a minimum indoor air quality performance is required. So the framework of LEEDS has a main statement about something which then has an intent. This is why we're doing this. In this case, establishing minimum air quality performance to enhance blah blah blah. Right, so there's a statement of what it is and then an intent. And then that's followed by a list of requirements And maybe listed as case studies, it may be listed as options, ways in which you might be able to achieve that intent. You have this in your handout in a minute. And then usually at the bottom there are various technologies and or strategies that might guide you, because their list is not exhaustive, they're simply illustrative about how you might go about doing that. If you're able to satisfy those criteria, then you'll get a certain number of points assigned to that particular topic. That's the way the lead structure works. So once again, it's a metric. The points are available, an intent, a set of requirements, which may be listed as, and then options for how you might meet that requirement. There may be pathways if it's a complicated set of options available to you. And then finally, a list of technologies and or strategies that sort of encapsulate the idea behind achieving that goal. So once again, going back to now the rating system that we're proposing, as Shirley mentioned, we have enabled activities, tools, technology, furniture, environmental quality, integration with campus context, planning, process, support, and operations. Those are the six major outline points. We're interested in your feedback as to whether or not we've missed something glaringly in our outline, and also whether these things make sense as we're aggregating them. So as an example, we picked one point, point four from ours, and I'm going to walk through it just briefly about what that, how it's rendered, if you will, in this context. So the point four is integrating with the institution's learning space master plan. The overall section is integrating with the campus context. So the intent is to ensure that learning spaces project align, the learning spaces projects align with, inform, and complement a current institutional learning space master plan that addresses informal learning space as well as formal teaching spaces. So that's the intent of this main bullet. And then there are options for achieving that. You may engage key institutional academic leaders in the appropriate stages of the planning process. You need to provide evidence of that alignment with academic initiatives, institutional accreditation activities, and accountability activities, and recent learning space findings in planning and vision documents from the campus. So if you document this process that includes these kinds of elements, then you would achieve this intent and thereby get points. That's the structure of this thing. And then finally, one more an example. Intent in this case, integrated with the institution's learning space plan, the intent is to ensure... Wait a minute, did I just go through that? Ensure that... that it complements the institutional learning space plan and addresses informal, et cetera. And in this case, alignment with the institutional learning space plan, master plan, and it talks more in detail about how the planning and visioning documents might be connected to the spectrum of campus-wide learning environments. And in the second sub-bullet, include institutional capital planning and project management professionals as a starting point and moving forward in the campus process with them. So two different bullet sub-points under the general context of integration with campus context. If you did both of those and you documented them and you submitted it to the magic third party in the sky, you might get points. Okay? So that's the planning, that's the idea that we're working on. And the example that you have that's rendered in point bullet point four on that sort of four-page handout that you've got is an example of our thinking that through to a certain level of detail. But all of us in the group understand that this is a first pass, and when we get your feedback, we'll tear it all up and do it over again. And we also have to do a much more careful job of aligning what we're doing with existing reference documents from the AV environment, the AV world, from the LEADS folks and architects, and from various other communities that are doing things at a level that of specificity that we're not trying to be attending to. We're trying to pay attention to the learning context and pedagogy. Okay? So, Malcolm mentioned the document for the rating system. There's the URL again. I'll pass this back to Malcolm, and it's now your turn to get to work.
Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Phil. So I'm sure that you have many questions, but now is the discussion time. But what we want you to do is to form, or at your tables, to form discussion groups and begin going through this. If you've visited the Google form, you know that we're asking you to give us feedback in two ways. One, two things that you like about this idea, or more. Three, anything that you like about the idea you want to point out, you think is a strength of the idea. And then the second box is what you see as challenges, difficulties or other sorts of obstacles that this type of project will need to overcome as we go forward. So those of you who are sitting, if you're sitting by yourself at a table, we would ask you to join another table group so you can further the discussion. We will be circulating, because I'm sure you have questions, we will be circulating throughout this discussion time and joining the table. So if you have a question, raise your hand and one of us will come join you. So we will go until about 8:40, I think. That gives us about 25 minutes of discussion time. And as I said, please visit the URL and record your thoughts there. All right? Let's begin. Thank you. All right. So we have about 10 minutes left in the session. What we'd like to do is this. Those of you who are typing into the Google form, please continue to type. No comment is too small. And we also would point out that at the third text box in the form is a place for you to leave your contact information. So if you want to stay informed and if we want to find you later, please fill out that box. So as you fill out the form, what I thought we would do is to, I'm going to roll from table to table. We would like to hear, so point to someone in your group who's going to be the spokesperson for the group. And we only have 10 minutes. There are very a lot of tables. We like to cover as many tables as we can. So I'm going to enforce, you have 2 to 3 sentences. We hear one idea, whether it be positive or critical or skeptical or enthusiastic, it's your choice. But one comment from your group that you think is particularly important to share. So I'm going to start with this group. And as I come close, make sure you have an appointed spokesperson. Who's here is going to speak? Just one comment.
I thought Diane made a great point that a standard like this would advance what the vendors would be giving us and would probably result in new products that would better fit better learning modes. Much like LEED has influenced the products and insulation and volatility of paints in the architecture world.
Thank you. Do we have a spokesperson for this team?
I guess so. I am glad to see that this has a section in it that includes this section for recognizing the culture of particular campuses so that the certification does not try to turn into a one-size-fits-all solution for learning spaces.
Yes, indeed. All right. Marching to this table. Do I have a spokesperson? Going once, going twice.
We had great discussion. I think, from my perspective, it leads to credibility to the process and the project, and it answers the why, and it helps get us to the issue of effectiveness and does it matter.
Thank you. And now to this team. Sir.
One challenge is that if it's too structured, it may take forever to actually get through all the steps, and I might just get so frustrated with that process that I give up on it, because I'm like the only person at my school who will be doing this.
Okay. This table, do you have a spokesperson?
I think our biggest concern was one that was already mentioned, how context-specific it is and what will the cost to institutions be. We also talked about the need to address informal learning spaces as a holistic part of it.
Great. Thank you. This table, do you have a spokesperson? Lisa?
Thanks, Michael. One of our challenges that we identified was having policies in place to get people to play nicely together, particularly with centrally versus departmentally owned space, and having a level of transparency that makes those spaces available or more available as they're built out in incremental steps.
Thank you. This table.
So one of the things we really liked was Section 6, having the assessment and feedback loop. We thought that was really great to have in there specifically, right from the beginning, so you can start to plan that in instead of waiting till you're done.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Now this table. Sir.
We could bring up one quick concern is the idea of moving away from the word certification and rating to something like principles and guidelines so that, you know, things like this aren't used as a weapon, more used as a guiding principles and things for architects, things for us, things for everyone to work through because we, you know, the part of the issue, I guess, comparing back to something like LEED, is it's not sort of a checkbox, and that everything is contextual, and that, you know, as we go through all of these different things, if the, let's say, the support isn't there, your wonderful space is going to fail. So does that mean you still get certified? So that's what I think one of the issues we were wrestling with.
I would just point out that if you follow the LEED model, it's not an either or, either you're certified or not, but there are levels, like your bronze, silver, gold, things like that. So there are levels of certification. It's not just an either or. Anyone here want to say anything? Going once, going twice? No? Yes?
One concern that I brought forth as a faculty member, so I may be kind of the odd man out in this room, is the merging of these types of metrics with learning outcomes, and also looking at the physical classroom versus the virtual classroom and ensuring that we have metrics that address both. And then also looking at it from a user perspective, an end-user perspective, and looking at institutions whose end-users may have limited access to high-speed internet access. And so, again, I'm coming at it maybe from a different perspective than a lot of people in this room. So.
Thank you. This table, do we have a spokesperson? Sir?
We like the idea of bringing virtual classrooms into this. Hitting on his comment a little bit, one of the things we thought might be useful would be to somehow articulate what we expect to this rating system to be used for. Helpful in planning, for example, everybody knows what you get with LEED certification. You may get energy rebates. You may get you may get a press story, or press release about your building. Those kinds of things. You want to somehow articulate what we want the standards to be used for.
Thank you very much. This table, comment.
We talked primarily about the energy efficiency portion of it. Presumably, when you're going to do a learning space, a learning commons, collaborative learning space, you're going to be doing virtualization. You're going to be using laptops primarily, which are probably generally more energy efficient than standard desktops.
Thank you very much. This table.
I'm not sure if we missed the ball or not, but we were looking under Category 2 to talk more about actually building our classrooms for us. If we're building, learning spaces to be used by multiple, people in the departments, that break it down to, if your room is 40 by 30 feet, that, have a projector on both sides with learning spaces that are, mobile and adaptable to different curriculums.
Thank you very much. This table, any comments?
For those of us that don't have a learning space committee already, we thought that this might help us to get all the stakeholders, the facilities folks, the purchasing folks, the faculty all together to form a committee and maybe move this forward.
Thank you. This table.
We actually talked about different things entirely. We wanted to reorganize the entire document so that the steps that you would do first were the ones people read at the beginning, like planning and integrating with the campus context. We also wanted some guidelines, potentially not certifications, for folks who might be working remotely, telling them how they might be able to set up the space in their own home that was good for them.
All right. That's a good idea. As Phil said, we're going to totally rebuild this, I'm sure. Pass? All right.
Malcolm, could the last comment be repeated? We didn't hear.
Okay. So, Carrie, you have to say it all over again.
We heard about the reorganizing the document, but the
last we were looking at the order of the document and thinking that the things that came first, that we like planning process, should probably be listed first because people tend to go through these type of things like a checklist. Mm-hmm. So the order they should approach things in should be the order things appear. We were actually moving technology and tools down towards the bottom, so other things were considered first. And then we talked a little bit about how this wouldn't really apply for students working remotely, but it might be interesting just to have some sort of checklist or ideas for setting up an effective space in your home that has proven to be useful to students when they're accomplishing their work.
All right. So I think we have one table left. Spokesperson, Andrew.
One of the points that we talked about was what portions of a building would this apply toward and how do you determine that? Because it was pointed out that beyond classrooms, there are a lot of different areas where people learn. And as an example, would this apply to a faculty member's office? in the sense that students come in, maybe in small groups, to be tutored there, or maybe even the spaces outside that office where you're increasingly seeing faculty mingling with graduate students, and the idea is that they'll be collaboratively talking about issues, that kind of thing. So thinking about, does this apply to certain categories in the program process, or how can it be more flexible? Does it have to adapt based on the kind of learning space you're talking about?
All right, did I miss any table or any cluster of folks? All right, well, we're going to finish right on time, I think, because it's 50. The URL is displayed on the screen. Again, if you haven't gone to fill out this form, please do, because this is the way we can really capture your insights. And it's also a way to register if you want to stay tuned to this channel, so to speak, for developments. So we thank you so much for getting up bright and early on the last day of a long conference to share with us your insights and your thoughts about this. This has been tremendously helpful. We thank you all very much.